Welcome to the Sober Shaman Podcast, where we explore ways to make the spiritual practical and apply these medicines to the recovery from addiction and trauma. Hello, and thanks for joining me here on this episode of the Sober Shaman Podcast. This one is entitled Breaking the Spell of Lies. And this is about my 40th podcast and starting to get a hang of this. A lot of the subject matters have been repeated, coming from different angles. How do we approach trauma, addiction, and all the things that go into the perpetuation of these cycles from a spiritual perspective? And how do we make that information practical? And some of the themes that I keep revisiting, because they're worth revisiting and coming at from different angles, is the idea of a spell and the idea of lie. And this time, we're going to go into breaking the spell of lies. One of the reasons why this has come up again this week, again, it's themes in addiction and recovery. I've had the book People of the Lie, which was a 1983 release by M. Scott Peck, very famous author back in those days for The Road Less Traveled. This is a very controversial book that he released, but also a very powerful one. And every once in a while, I recommend it for reading to my clients in the sense of having to deal with people who are possibly displaying characteristics of what Scott Peck talks about as a people of the lie. And the second part of the title of that book is Toward a Psychology of Evil. And that's one of the reasons why that word evil is one of the reasons why I hesitate so often, because like addiction, we come into conversations thinking we know what words mean, or at least we know what they mean to us. And here in the West, that word evil, you know, the movies, the evil dead, the zombies, devils, and it takes on a supernatural inclination that loses its meaning as other people and other cultures around the world use it for just as the opposite of love, as the opposite of God, as separation from love, God, evil, the good, bad. And so, especially since the author, Scott Peck, really unabashedly and outwardly uses a Christian foundation to explain his meanings of the book. So, okay, that introduction said, I love what he does about bringing awareness to and shed light on narcissism and the spectrum of narcissism and what happens when people really fall far on the black side, on the dark side of that spectrum. And they get, and I say dark and black as opposed to being closer to the light, which again would be light, love, and let's say evil is the dark. And again, bring that into yin-yang, or that doesn't necessarily translate because we don't judge good, bad when we have two sides of a magnet. It's just equals and opposites. So again, things can get confusing very quickly. And at the same time, it's wonderful to be able to talk about these things, use examples, as M. Scott Peck uses in the book, of case histories of people who display these characteristics. And it can really help people. And twice this week, I've had people that those examples helped with. So it's also very common in addiction. Well, then again, I don't know what to compare it to, but for me, it's very common to be dealing with a client who is the identified addict of the family, often is acting out through an addiction, the pain of this loved one, this family member who is incapable. And that's one of the attributes of this level of narcissism, is at some point, that person who displays these characteristics of narcissism, it stops being a choice, and it just starts being they are incapable of going back. And M. Scott Peck talks about this a lot. And well, quite simply, what would happen is if a person started going back, that means they would be heading towards the truth. So even to turn direction would mean that they are, for the title of this podcast, breaking the spell. Because it is a lie. And to turn back towards the truth, to turn back towards the light, would mean that everything that they've built, a persona, a business, a role in the family, would come tumbling down. And so many people in addictions are responding to people in their family who display this strong tendency towards narcissism and or the incapability to see it any other way. And see it any other way would mean that, well, look, you're the addict, you're the problem. And that is tremendously painful for many, many people in recovery. So that's one of the first intros here to the podcast. If you haven't read the book, I haven't read it in years, but I refer it a whole lot when it comes up in these kinds of scenarios with clients and or colleagues talking about these scenarios. So I love this book. I love M. Scott Peck's bravery, to which many people feel like he went too far to try to push to have evil as part of, as a diagnosis and a diagnostic code. I think it's pretty awesome that people push the boundaries in these ways. And we ask questions. Well, why? Why not? What's the problem there? And of course, there's plenty of realistic logistical problems why you can't do that. And there's plenty of great arguments as to why we should do that. And why I love the second part of the title of the book, which says, Toward a Psychology of Evil, which I think is genius. So there's an introduction to this breaking the spell of lies. In the next part, let's talk about, well, what is a lie? That's not the truth, right, Randy? No, that's too easy. Because if it was just that easy, we wouldn't have problems like politics, because everybody would be able to see the truth and who was truthful and who was right, right? There's one side that's right, so that means the other side must be wrong. Big conversation. We won't go there. How about advertising, right? You need this. Why? Because advertising is poking at the lie that they know we have somewhere within us, that we are not enough right here, right now, in this way. I am fill in the blank. Advertising, you could be more like this and not like that if you just, what a wonderful manipulation of truth versus lie, right? If things were that easy, well, a lie is just not the truth. If we were able to see things like that, we wouldn't have all kinds of dysfunctional family agreements either, right? Because we'd be able to see which side, which presentation holds the truth, and the other side is just responding in a response to that in a way that is not the truth. It's not that easy. So what's a good starting place to begin parsing truth from lies? Because sometimes it is obvious. Sometimes when we hear a lie or we're being asked to enter into a lie, we can feel it physically. We can feel it's not right. When people try to pull us in using collective language, you know what I mean, right? Right, you know what I mean, right? No, wait a minute. You know what? It's usually by degree that those kind of situations and conversations happen. But we can feel often when it's too late. It's like, how did I get into this agreement? Where was the point upon which I gave permission for them to keep going? This is not right. I feel it in my gut. Feel just everything about it feels wrong. I've got quite a few podcasts that I have talked about the chi of lies and what this does to our bodies from a Chinese medicine point of view, because the chi, the energy, when there is a lie, we can feel things just stop flowing. We have stopped flowing with the course of the universe, right? Things are flowing a certain way. And if we are in alignment, if we are in harmony with the way things are going, with our beliefs and our expressions and our relationships, and we are maintaining that alignment, constantly course correcting, constantly expressing, constantly taking responsibility for maybe where I've fallen short, and then taking responsibility for where I can do more. And when we do that, we feel like we're in flow, like we are in accordance and right relationship with the universe and the flow of things. And when we're not, we feel that too. And it has repercussions in the body. It's interesting. And I talk about that more in those other podcasts about the chi of lies. For now, let's just keep going down this and break the spell of lies. That's what this one is. So let's start with the old, well, what is a lie? If it's not as simple as it's not the truth, it's the opposite of the truth, well, then why do we need more explanation? And what exactly goes on, and how do we figure this out? So I'd like to do this using the work of the Sober Shaman's Path of Recovery and the first principle of the way I work with addictions is addiction affects the whole person, mental, spiritual, emotional, and physical. Those are the four aspects of being a human, of the human experience, mental, spiritual, emotional, and physical. And I say them in that order, to go from top to bottom, to go from lightest of chi down to the most physical, heaviest of chi, manifestation, how these rules are universal. And it's interesting how it works also for addictions and Chinese medicine. And we're going to use it again here to help explain lie. So the old, what is a lie? Well, what does that mean mentally? So mentally, the lie comes in as information. It's just information. It's just a thought. The lie doesn't hold any charges emotionally or belief-wise, not yet. It's just information. And if we stay here in the mental space, we can use our mental capabilities and all of our awareness to see, to examine, to explore whether or not this lie is true. Now, if we stayed here, all of us together would be able to go, ah, this mathematical equation is not balanced. That's a lie. And we'd be able to see that objectively. Or we'd go, ah, 2 + 2 = 4. Yes, we can all agree on that. So it doesn't stay, it being the lie, it doesn't stay in that mental space because immediately it goes down into the spiritual, mental spiritual. That's the next realm of manifestation. So what happens in the spiritual? Well, for me, I like to categorize it as we've fallen into the realm of belief. Whose spirituality is correct? Well, it depends upon what you believe. Let's keep it there for simplicity's sake. Belief is the realm of the spiritual. And what came up a couple of times this week in regards to belief was that line from the movie Amsterdam that I fell in love with, you're following the wrong God home. And where that line comes from is a William Stafford poem. And I looked it up, and the poem is entitled A Ritual to Read to Each Other. A Ritual to Read to Each Other. And I'll read to you now the first stanza, the first four lines where this particular quote comes from. A ritual to read to each other. If you don't know the kind of person I am, and I don't know the kind of person you are, a pattern that others made may prevail in the world. And following the wrong God home, we may miss our star. One more time. If you don't know the kind of person I am, and I don't know the kind of person you are, a pattern that others made may prevail in the world, and following the wrong God home, we may miss our star. I love that. And it speaks to this spell of a lie. How does the spell of a lie happen? Well, you don't know the kind of person I am. You don't know what I mean. You don't know what I'm saying because I'm not good enough expressing it, articulating it, showing it through my words and expressions. So for whatever reason, you don't know me. And for whatever reason, I don't know the kind of person you are. So when that happens, now, a pattern that others made may prevail in the world. How easy can we apply this to social media? It's so easy to other the other person because we don't know them. We know enough about them, those people. That's all I need to know. Whose idea is that? Whose beliefs are those? It's a pattern that others made. And this may prevail in the world. And this only happens when you don't know me and I don't know you. And then what happens? We follow the wrong God home. And when we do, we miss our star. We miss our magic. We miss all of the wonderful possibilities of love, connection, and healing. A lie. This is what it does. This is the spell. It's a pattern that others made, which may prevail in the world. And when we believe it, That's when we follow the wrong God home. Why would we follow the wrong God home? Because we believe it. That's the only reason. So, all right then, what's a lie? The third part, the emotional component. Well, like I said, if we stayed in the mental, everybody would be able to see the logistical facts and make a clear determination and pretty much an agreement of what is truth and what's a lie. But then you throw belief into the equation and the whole thing goes out the window. And now we fall to the next layer of human experience of emotional. And what do we do with this belief? Well, damn it. I need to surround myself with others who believe the same thing. So we enter into our bubbles, right? Our echo chambers, as we say. Why? Because we want to get that emotional charge of being right together. And then physically, what kind of actions and behaviors do we do? Well, feeling right, we go out and prove that lie to be right. Why? Because I've got others behind me and I like how this feels, especially now that I'm inhabiting it in my echo chamber of my little bubble of the world. And lies like this and othering others can keep things clean. Because like I said earlier, when we have to turn around and face the lies we've been believing, the house of cards is going to fall apart, and there's a part of our subconscious that knows that. And while that sounds like a good idea, and of course, who wouldn't want to do that? What if that house of cards is an identity? Like a strong foundational identity. I am the breadwinner, an essential cog in this company. You fill in the blank. What happens when that role, which has probably lots of benefits that others may be depending upon, you keeping it rolling, that makes addiction complicated, right? Is going to have to fall apart. And there's a part of you that knows that. And the whole lie will come crashing down. So let's construct how a lie formulates into a solid part of our identity, our role, our psyche, us. I gave you that overview, mental, spiritual, emotional, and physical, and let's go through it just logistically one time here, very cleanly from top to bottom. So the steps of a lie. Number one, it's a mental, the mental aspect. The steps of a lie, the first thing that happens is the lie is spoken. So again, that informational aspect comes in and lands in us in the mental phase. The second phase of this lie, this is where, and those of you who know me know, I love getting lost into the belief phase, into the spirituality phase, because this is the crux of where the whole thing just flies out the window. Belief. The only reason why a spell, why a lie would manifest in reality is because we believe it to be true. Otherwise, it has no power. Informationally, it doesn't make any sense. But if it pushes upon a wound, I am not enough. You need these sneakers to jump higher. Oh, yeah, I do. We just flipped our whole information into belief. Belief is stronger than reality in this case. So what happens is the belief wins. The belief overrides the information. The belief says, Well, you know what? You may have thought that to be a lie, but I'd like to try it on for size because my beliefs say there's a very good chance this is the way it is. So in believing the lie, all of a sudden now belief and reality have a fuzzier relationship. Things are not so easily mentally, logistically black and white. They have entered into a new realm where, well, wait a minute, and things are getting gray and fuzzy. Then what happens? Then you move down into the emotional. What is the realm of emotion? Connection. Who do we connect with? Well, if depending upon how strong the belief is, if the belief is ironclad already, the only people we're going to connect with are people who hold the same belief. That's it. When I'm in my addiction, who do I surround myself with? People who are actively validating my addiction. Hanging out at the bar is very different than hanging out in an AA meeting. Same people, different times, different beliefs. This is what it's all about. So who do we connect with? If our beliefs are ironclad, we are then going to connect only with people who validate that belief. So what have we done? We've proven through reality of our connections that other people have the same beliefs. Therefore, this really must be the truth, regardless of whether or not the belief is true. I've got others backing me up. Now things are really getting fuzzy, right? And then what do? We go out physically, mental, spiritual, emotional, physical behaviors, actions. What are our physical behaviors and actions? Well, we are going to do things that manifest, prove the belief to be true, the connections to be correct, and all that information to be reality. I'm going to do stuff that proves the spell of the lie to be real and true, regardless of how much truth it really contains. This is addiction. This is how it works. And the crux is where things change is based upon the belief. What do we believe? So, how do we challenge this lie? How do we break this spell? Again, mental, spiritual, emotional, and physical, using that model based upon the first principle, addiction affects the whole person. This is why I say belief, the spiritual aspect, is essential in recovery because mentally, generally speaking, is not enough. In other words, if new information is presented to us and it took just information and the mental realm to get it, we would have gotten it a long time ago. Hey, you know, it's probably not a good idea to you fill in the blank of your addiction of choice. We get that message at the end of every cycle when we, you know, the sun's coming up, we're driving home without our pants, without our wallet, what the heck happened, you know, the consequences. We get the message over and over and over again. There's plenty of evidence to support this is a bad idea. But mentally, it's not enough, generally speaking. So what happens is we need to get into this realm of belief, the aspect of the spirit, to change things, to flip the cycle, to break the spell. How do you break the spell of a belief? This is a saying that I will say all the time, and I'll keep repeating, because it's what I believe, that we need a new experience to change an old belief. We need a new experience to change an old belief. So let me give you an example. So let's say I am presented with new evidence that is going to challenge a lie that I have. And the new evidence is a new double-blind placebo super-duper study that shows there is a pill that unequivocally can fix addiction. So that's the information. That's how it lands with me mentally. Now, I hear that, I take in the information, and of course there's a part of me that goes, huh, wouldn't that be awesome? I'd be out of a job, but that's not such a bad thing. You know, I guess I'm willing to sacrifice, you know, having a job compared to having a pill that fixes addiction. That sounds, well, wow, right? That's the mental. When it lands in my belief system, the first thing that happens is that everything about me just feels like it's a lie. It cringes. It twists. It's like, what kind of... It's like, but Randy, wait, you know, you got to look at the mental, you got to look at the facts. My belief system goes right into a, yeah, sure, who's this double-blind placebo test run by, Pfizer? You know, come on, man, follow the money, right? I got enough experiences that validate my beliefs that this is a tub of hogwash. So that's my belief. So I'm going to need an experience that is going to have to prove to me that this pill can take care of one's belief, fix their addiction, eliminate the limiting core belief of right here, right now, that I am not enough in some way, is going to connect us to something greater. And call that higher power, call that love, call that community, and then is going to allow us to then immediately go out into the world and perform the next right thing. I'm going to need an experience of the pill to be able to believe that that is true, right? Okay, so I'm challenging this lie. So then what do I need to do? If I'm still holding an open mind to this Pfizer-sponsored hypothetical situation of a double-blind placebo pill that takes care of everything involved with addiction, well then, who do I connect with? Well, if I do it pathologically, if I stay in my own bubble and I surround myself with people who go, hey, did you hear about this thing? We're all just going to shoot it down with the same information. But if I'm holding my belief that it's probably not true, but at the same time, I am also going to, as best I can, provide myself with a new experience, surround myself with other people, with other ideas, with other beliefs, that they got it right, that the other side of the equation is good, is providing a level of truth that maybe I can't see because I'm stuck in my belief. So, do I, from that belief, do I go down the path and connect with just my people? Do I go down the path and connect with others? And then, going into the physical realm, what kind of physical experience do I provide myself with? Do I take the damn pill? See what happens. Do I investigate with others? Do I go and interview others. In other words, my actions need to supply me with a new experience that is either going to change the belief that I am coming into this particular situation with, or I'm going to, through this experiment, through this challenge, I'm going to break the spell. And I'm going to say, you know what? How do you like that? This was sponsored by Pfizer. And even though I am a Chinese medicine doctor and I've come into this with my own beliefs, it does seem that, which way am I going with this, right? That A, yeah, they're out for the money. There's nothing about this that changes a person's belief, changes a person's behavior, fixes their wounds. Or, well, you look at that. I don't know how they do it. And I don't understand how they do it because people are a lot smarter than me in other areas of brain and endocrinology and hormones and maybe neuroplasticity. It grows new neurons immediately. Over, who knows, right? It worked. How about that? But that's how we break the spell. Mental, spiritual, emotional, and physical. And the tipping point, the crux, is in that belief stage, the spiritual stage. What are your beliefs? Because the only reason why a lie exists, why the spell perpetuates, is because we believe it to be true and then go out and prove it to be true. What is addiction? Addiction is a spell. What is the spell? The spell is a lie. What is the lie? I am not enough right here, right now. That stinks. I'm a loser. What am I going to do? I'm going to go out and prove through any means necessary, going through the cycle of addiction, of how I am not a loser. And maybe for all intents and purposes, that looks like overachieving financially, but leaving a wake of pain that hold the same consequences of being addicted to fixing that wound as it does to just trying to soothe the wound with a drug of choice. They're both two sides of the same coin coming from that same belief of I'm a loser. And both are not good. Both stem from the same lie. Both are a spell that perpetuates itself only through the fact that we believe it to be true. Because if I'm a loser, there's not going to be a level of success that causes the belief to be fixed. It will temporarily satiate the wound because I have a certain number in my bank account, or I've done something philanthropically, but that is the same as snorting a line of cocaine. Sure, it has very different presentation in the world, but its effects on the belief are the same. It's a magical moment of temporarily alleviating the pain of the belief that I'm a loser. Look at this number in my bank account. That's awesome. Next morning, I wake up. Do I go, it truly was enough? Well, then things are good. But that's not how it works. It goes, crap, I could lose it. I better go out and double it. Put another zero behind it. Same impetus of going around the cycle again of, oh, crap, what did I do? Spending all my money on cocaine. Well, just come back here in the morning. I'm late. What have I done? I've proven I'm a loser. Crap. I better get to work and I better go do it all over again. Same beliefs, same spell, based upon the same lie. The lie is I'm a loser, which comes from all the stuff in the past, trauma, abuse, heartbreak, and loss that we talk about. But the only reason why it's true is because I go out and prove it to be true through the cycle of addiction. I believe the lie. That's the only reason why it can exist. That's the only reason why it can manifest in reality. This is what we need to do in recovery, is to use mental, spiritual, emotional, and physical. Use the medicine of the mental, which is awareness, looking at the information, meditation, journeying, getting new awareness. It's usually not enough, as we talked about earlier, but new awareness is essential. It's an essential component. We need new information. Then we need to have a new experience, because experience is the medicine for beliefs. We need a new experience to change an old belief, the realm of the spirit. Moving on down to the emotion, what do we do with that? We connect with others that see the truth, that can help us see the truth. And then the physical, we go out and manifest that truth through our actions, through our expression, through our recovery, giving back, helping others, helping other people in all aspects of life. It's better to be happy than it is to be right, because the lie always wants to be right, and it's got stories that prove itself to be right. That whole thing needs to be let go of, surrendered, and given ourselves an experience of being happy instead. I hope there's some things in here that rang a bell of truth for you, that resonated in harmony with you in some ways, that were truthful, and that maybe pointed out where you can feel lies in your life. And, you know, just for fun, monitor yourself and notice in your speech, in your actions, in your postings of how truthful you are being. And what does that feel like in your body? Maybe you don't, before you hit the post button, maybe you hit a couple of deletes and maybe not send it, or maybe let it sit, come back to it later, giving yourself a new experience of looking at that in a different way. Let me know how this lands with you. Send me any questions, comments, concerns you may have. Please hit the little like button. Subscribe to wherever you are listening or watching this. I appreciate your time, participation, and comments. Till next time, blessings. Thanks for listening to the Sober Shaman Podcast, where we explore ways to make the spiritual practical. Please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Send me any questions or comments you have. Check out the website, randalllyons.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, blessings.